Awesome.
Thanks, team. Morning, church. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. So good. We got Jackie Job, my other little sis on keys. So good. Love it. And I think Tess back, first time worship. Love it. So good. Isn't it great? That's, you know, what we were just seeing is what Psalms does for us is we can look at what is really hard and at the end land in that truth that God is always worth praising. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Good. Hey, well done being here this morning. Whatever hurdle you had to overcome, because that's a reality right now and probably almost always in our lives, you are here. And so whether you're here, sitting here, whether you're online, it is so good to be together. Before I jump into today's teaching, big congratulations to Lachlan and Jocelyn. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Bale, who got married yesterday, who aren't here this morning, unless they crept in. But we love them. No. It's cool. They should be somewhere else. Bless them. Topic of another day. Let's continue. Summer in Psalms. You know, we're in summer. Who's been to the beach? I was going to bring a surfboard in today, and I didn't, but I wore my surfboard shirt. So we're here. Now, I've had this conversation with a few people a lot that Jesus was a carpenter who didn't talk about really that much. He talked about what related to people. I'm a surfer, and so I really try not to talk about surfing too much, but I really think that today's just brief story I want to share helps with the object lesson of today's teaching. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Cool?
Yeah.
Has anybody surfed for the first time this summer? Or kids have, Newton kids, good job. Or they've come back to surfing and realized this is hard. No, great, awesome. All right, let's jump into Psalm 13. This is another Psalm of David. And he wrestles with some really hard stuff and then lands where I hope we all will land. But it has to become getting through our feelings to be able to land there. You'll get what I mean. So he says this, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Maybe sometimes it feels like that. "How long must I wrestle with my own thoughts?" Certainly part of the human condition that we wrestle with our own thoughts. "And day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." It's poetic, but it's heartfelt, and it's in some ways, it's brutal. "And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." But, don't you love it? Often scripture will say something and then say, therefore, or there'll be something that is incredibly hard, and then the writer says, but. And you know something is coming. So let's lean in. David says this, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Amen? I wonder if in this season especially, I mean, we all had issues in some way or another because we're imperfect people, before 2020, but certainly a lot of that stuff has been heightened, hasn't it? And I wonder if there are just times when you're going, Lord, I know against everything that I'm feeling, you are faithful. You are unfailing. You are worth praising. Hey, my title today is Choose Your Title Sunday. So go with whichever one you like. If you don't take notes, start taking notes. I believe this is an important message. If you have a Bible or you've got the Bible on your phone, grab it out, follow along. I've certainly made it a heavy morning for our media people, but I hope that it will help all of us. So the title today, you can either have Cathart Your Heart or The Art of Catharting. Don't say it too fast. Cathart Your Heart or The Art of Catharting. All right, to my surfing story. I have a great friend, James, who I met probably in my early 20s. And he actually taught at King's College for a long time. And everybody thought he was my older brother, which is great because he's younger than I am. but he also ended up being my best man. Now, James and I share a shared passion for surfing, and he is such a good friend. He's actually shaped me a board that is out of timber, and as I think about it, I should have actually brought it for you just to show you. But the first time I took James surfing, now, I grew up in Warrnambool local, born and bred, and surfed these spots all of my life. And let me give you just a little surfing etiquette and background. When you're surfing a place like the Main Beach or the Flume or Granny's Grave, or you go a bit further and it's all just beach, it's called a beach break, and the surf comes in and tends to break anywhere that there's a shallow spot. And there's not as much etiquette there. Like, waves are just coming from every single direction. There's a lot of waves going on, and everyone is usually pretty mellow. You try not to get in each other's way. If someone's on a wave first, you don't catch the wave. It's not that hard. Now, if you go to somewhere maybe more like Port Fairy, where you can actually park right in front of a spot called The Passage, where it's all reef and rocks, looks really dangerous. It's not. Because the wave breaks in the same place almost all the time. And there, etiquette is much simpler to understand, but also enforced far more regularly. So just be respectful. Humble and respectful is a good way to walk through life, isn't it? Now, so I took James to not a reef break, but just a beach break where everybody should be mellow. And we ran into a gentleman who was anything but mellow. Now, this guy, who I'm not going to name names, and I'm glad that I'm actually kind of getting to have conversations with him now, and hey, let's pray that he comes to faith, amen. He was not having a good season in his life, and he decided that we were in his turf, and, you know, the conversation went something like, with some added words, what are you doing here? I've never seen you before. You pretty boys need to go and get out. And I'm like, okay. I was a little bit cheekier then than I am now, so I had to think some things to say back. And he's the very definition of like a salty dog. Like, he's tanned and tattooed and blonde long hair, and he's just a gnarly guy, and he's also really fit. And so we had a bit of an altercation, and of course my friend who I've taken there, James, surfing in Warrnambool for the very first time, he's like, what's wrong with this town? Like, Sam just told us all about summer in Warrnambool, and my mate's just going, I'm never coming back here again. The reality is that there are people having bad days everywhere sometimes, aren't there? I've had the same experience at Gunna Matter, I think it was, and a friend of mine said, don't say anything to that guy. Just whatever he says, do what he says. He's dangerous. So anyway, had this conversation. We ended up getting out, and I'm just like, at least I had enough wits about me to kind of go, you know, escalating this is not a good idea. This is before I was really walking with Christ in a very real way. And, you know, I'm pleased to say that even though that was a very, very strange interaction, feeling like, what's going on? And then this gentleman actually was convicted of punching a 13-year-old in the surf after that. And you could really tell that the depth of kind of what he was going through had hit a pinnacle, had hit a new low. And, you know, I'm really glad to say, one, the 13-year-old is okay. But two, that I saw that guy a few years later, and it wasn't that I was bigger or anything else, but I saw him and it was just me getting out of the surf and just him. And I recognize him and I'm like, oh, this might not go well. And so we're walking back to the surf together and he's like, Tim, how are you, mate? It's good to see you. And I'm just like, what? Who's this guy? And I said, mate, I'm trying not to say his name. We ended up talking, talked about what I do, talked about what he's been doing. And I said, what's going on for you? And he was a totally different person. Now, he's not yet a believer in Jesus, so let's pray and believe for that, hey? But what he had found was a way to cathart what was happening within him. And for him, that was writing. And so he'd found this way to kind of heal of a whole bunch of stuff, and that was getting his thoughts out on paper. It was writing songs, and there had been great healing in that. And who knows that in this world, there are so many things that people try to do to cope with what's happening. So some people write, some people meditate, some people do yoga. For some people, it's like I have to go do an ocean swim every day. And there are a lot of those things that are actually appropriate and fine for us to do as Christians. Like our meditation is to meditate on the Word of God and is to pray. But it is so much more profound what we see in Psalms, where ultimately what we're doing in that cathartic process, and if you're just like, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you what it means. Psalms is David doing just this. And so right now, you might have some really acute emotions. You might have pain, you might have grief, you might have anger, you might have offense. Whatever it is, we can take it to God honestly, openly. And this guy was transformed. But I mean, the amount of transformation that happens in us, the promise of literally the new life we've received in Jesus Christ, is profound and transformative. Here's the reality. Not only in this life do we have to navigate others when we're having a bad day, we've got to navigate them when they're having a bad day. And Lord help us when we both rock up to church having a bad day. Because we're human, it happens. But God has invited us to process those things. So to cathart, or if something is cathartic, it means the release of strong emotions through a particular activity or experience. And maybe you're thinking about something that you do that helps you. And maybe you're realizing, hang on a minute, I don't have anything. Or the things that I used to do that were really healthy through busyness or through change of season of life or whatever it might be, I've stopped doing and I need to start again. Or maybe the invitation to go and meditate on the Word of God or to start in prayer is something you need to hear again. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Now, how are we righteous? Well, because of what Jesus has done and our belief in Him, we've received His righteousness. It's an incredible thing. It's not a morally performative thing. We haven't done enough for that to be our inheritance. It is by our belief, but it irrevocably changes us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. These are profound truths that we need right now, don't we? We acknowledge the hard time that we're in. Today, I wonder if you're hearing this and you just realize I'm a little closed off. I'm like, who cares about this guy in a surfer shirt talking about surfing? I'm not talking about surfing. I'm talking about this profound transformative truth for your life. So if you're hard-hearted or angry or just so hurt that you switch off and retreat from people and pain, here's the invitation of Psalms, and I invite you not to just sit in secondary kind of information and teaching from other people or sitting here like this. It's great to be together as the church, but when you sit alone and you read that Psalm, and can I just encourage you, a tool of how God will speak to you, just start reading, keep reading, not too quickly, keep reading through Psalms, for example, and if something grabs you, stop. And just look at it again, read it again. Say, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Because He will challenge you, He will encourage you, He will give you hope, He will bring you forward. How many of the Psalms are just David raging at heaven? Like we feel like we can't go, Lord, what's going on and what are you doing? This doesn't make any sense to me, but we can. The proof is here in Psalms. It's David raging at heaven, venting all of his hurt and anger and bitterness and fear over wounding, over betrayal, over feeling misunderstood, over being attacked, over being opposed. Sometimes we walk through life with our heads down and we just need to go, oh, okay, Lord, help me. It's not about, you know, you don't have to walk through life making eye contact with everybody, forced to put up a mask because you can't face how you're really feeling. Instead, turn to God. He's inviting you to do that. Hey, hard times don't remove the vision, so a better or preferable picture of the future for a godly outcome. Whatever it is we're facing, it is not insurmountable with God's help. Rather, the invitation is that God wants to bring clarity to what we're navigating. Rich Velotis is an American pastor. He's a Brooklyn-raised, tough New York pastor, and I love some of the thoughts he has because, like, he has to navigate some of the toughest kind of mission cultural ground there is, and yet he's so profoundly clear and soft, in a wonderful sense, humble before people and before God. He says this, as Christians, the way we show up in the world is to be profoundly shaped by a patient and humble reading of Holy Scripture, of the Word of God. And one thing that he says, there's a much longer quote here, but he says, how we process the difficult feelings we carry are to be aided by the Psalms of David. It's a great insight. It's a great encouragement. So, you know, I've been seeking God through December, and here we are in January already in 2022. So, what's the vision that God wants to see in His church now? Can I share it with you? Can I share what God's been saying? And this is not just Tim said this. This is the Word of God inviting us to remember God's clear vision for His church. And you know, vision, we always think like vision is what's to come in the future, and it is that. It's a better or preferable picture of the future, but it's also a better or preferable picture of the moment. Remembering that God wants to start with us today, right where we are. And I think one of the profound things in the Word of God is it gives us clear steps in a complex world. Clear steps in a complex world. It's only getting more complex. So, can I just give you the vision? Everyone say one word, stay. That's it. I'll see you next week. Stay. So let's have a look. Just before I say that, stay. I don't know what you're thinking about that straight away, but one of the lessons from Psalms is David. I don't know if you know his story. David was a mighty man of faith, a king. He was wise. Jesus came from his offspring, his line. And yet David committed a lot of sins. He blew it massively, multiple times. Had an affair, committed murder, didn't listen to God, went into battle when he shouldn't, didn't go to battle when he should. Don't leave because you blew it thinking that God's given up. Stay. Doesn't matter what you're feeling. Doesn't matter what lies you're hearing. You're not good enough. God will never take you back. You've blown it too badly. You've messed up too much. You know, we all hear those thoughts. You're not enough. We're not enough. But Jesus is. And nothing is insurmountable for God. Stay. So number one, stay in God. Stay in God. Right now, you know what the church is quite often called to be? Is countercultural. And so how countercultural would it be when everyone just goes, I have this friendship, we disagree, I'm leaving. Sometimes friendships have seasons. But when it's just a difference of opinion and people leave, how countercultural would it be to stay in a time of leaving? These things are God's given vision for how a Christian, and therefore to make it bigger, how the church can be. And He gives us certainty in uncertain times. So number one, stay in God, staying in a time of leaving. John 15:4 says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I'm going to go through these quite quickly. I'm not keeping you here too long today. But I just want to share. Number one, stay in God. John 15:4 is talking about abiding, living in the Lord. And that is our foundation for hope. It's our foundation for fruitfulness. It's our foundation of realizing we've been set free, not just for our own sake, but to live in the service of others, to give our lives for our brothers and sisters, as Sam both invited us and challenged us to do. Everyone say number one. Number two, stay soft-hearted. Number two, stay soft-hearted. When everyone's offended and offending, what does it look like to stay? But in ourselves, we cannot stay soft-hearted. Why worry? What's the biblical case for worrying about your heart? Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all, guard your heart." That we are, or we have a safe place, to be honest, and that's something that is growing for you, because there are safe places. Regardless of what your experience in life has been like, there are safe places and there are safe people. We have days where we realize, I've had these thoughts, they've infiltrated my heart, and then I've dealt with someone out of that. And we go, oh. And just because you hear this, just because God's revealing this to me in Scripture doesn't mean I'm not going to do it again. But what do we do there? We have to go. The invitation is go and say sorry. Go and ask for forgiveness and guard our hearts. Pastor Prudy has a great thought that we've talked about quite often. She's just like, if you don't talk to God like David does at the start of Psalm 13 and many, many other places, where are you, Lord? Why have you turned your face from me? What's going on? I don't understand. Why have you left me? We're going to talk to other people that way. And they don't have the capacity to withstand it, because God's saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Cast your cares, cast your anxiety on me. So what I wrote was, if we don't cathart our heart before God, we'll have to apologize for all the catharting we do all over people. Do you want me to read it again? What are you guys thinking? You all need to, come on, keep it clean. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." I wonder if that's something that we need to ask God to help us with. And it probably won't just be once. What's the biblical vision of what God will do when we do that? Well, the amazing thing about Scripture is we can look at it and, you know, even though we're living 2,000 years on from Christ's death and resurrection in the New Testament, I feel like we're looking forward in the New Testament and back in the Old Testament, whereas ultimately we're always looking back, but sometimes further. Does anyone feel like that? So let's go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:26 says this, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Wonder today, not much longer from me today, if you're just feeling like, I'm so hurt, I'm so angry, I'm so sick of tomorrow being uncertain, and I realize my heart's getting hard, and I want to love people, I want to serve people, but it feels like every day is a bad day. And even when I feel like my day isn't that bad, someone else's day is so bad that I take it on board, and now everybody's just having a bad day. There is a greater vision for that God is inviting us into as believers. This is great definition of church that comes from a theologian. And, you know, you kind of look at like when so much of society is divided, what could a church be? What is it? Church isn't a building, church is the people. Who are we through what Christ has done? We are a community of new creations. How beautiful is that? A community of new creations. We're all at different stages. We're all a bit different from each other. I'm very different. That's okay. If you're different, good on you. There's strength in our difference provided we're united in Jesus Christ and what he's done, the truth of the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:15 backs that up. You might know this passage. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. This is what we've been made. And through this, we can point three. Everyone say, stay. That's three. Stay together. So many people are deconstructing their faith, walking away from God. Stay in God. It's the only place to actually live out life as you were created. So many people are hard-hearted, offending and being offended. Stay soft-hearted. So many people are divided. Stay together. Acts 4:32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Disagreement happens. Being a Christian doesn't mean people don't disagree, but how they do it and the outcome is profoundly different when we're grounded in Christ. And I want to tell you this, we get things out of order, right? You're not a Christian because of your view of the world, your political persuasion, your passions, your job, your ethnicity, your geographic location, your opinion, your values, or your scriptural interpretation. You're a Christian because God sent Jesus, his son, into the world to die on a cross, to be raised to life again, and you believe he's the son of God, that you're a sinner, that you need a savior. You're a Christian. The stuff that comes out of that is your worldview. And you're not always going to be right. I'm not always right. Yeah, we've got to walk through life making decisions and seeking God for all of those. But if we ever put that before who we are, things start to go pear-shaped. You're a Christian only because of what Jesus Christ has done. Everything else is secondary and continues to be secondary in light of his grace and forgiveness for you, your belief in him. And so how do we live that out? I love C.S. Lewis. He's one of the greatest writers that I can think of. Can I get the worship team to come back up? He says this, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. How? How do we do that? Well, humility and perspective. How humble was David to be on his knees at times, just going like, Lord, I don't know where you are. Why have you left me? My enemies are conquering me. I don't know what to do. I'm pouring my heart out truthfully. How many people have read David having a little pity party through thousands of years, this incredible king, and he's like just pouring his heart out really truthfully, like we're invited to do. And then he says, but Lord, thank you for a certain grounded perspective that you give me. And it's only through this divine truth that David constantly turns to, even in the depths of his feeling. Let's keep using that word. David just cathars all over the place. I mean, you'd be lucky not to get like, oh, this could get dangerous. We'll stop here. But, you know, it's going everywhere. And you can too. Talk to God. Write it down. Do it in private. Sit in a quiet room. Write it out. It can be as ugly as it needs to be. And then if you got someone who you trust, I'd love to sit down and talk with you. And if it's not me, that's okay. You've got to sit down and talk some of this through with someone. Get it out. Get it out. And then ground it again. I wonder if you'd stand with me as we wrap up our service today. We're going to sing in just a moment. Everyone say, get it out. Yeah. Now everyone say, ground it. So what does that look like? Can I read it to you again? David said everything that he said at the start, and then at verses 5 and 6, Psalms 13, he says this, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I want to acknowledge the pain, the hurt, the offense, the things that have happened over the whole course of your life, let alone the last couple of years. But at the same time, there's an invitation which Psalms is so profoundly displaying that God wants us to get it out and then be reminded, Lord, you have been good to me. You have been so good to me. I really believe that God prompted me to give the invitation of stay today because that's what it is. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe you're feeling convicted. You're going, oh, there's stuff in me that I need to work through. But ultimately, it's an invitation. Abide in God. Seek healing. Stay soft-hearted. Stay together. But I think we got to remember too, as we close and we'll pray, that staying power is not about you. It's not about what you can manufacture. It's not just your ability to keep going, to be consistent, to be faithful. It has nothing to do with your own strength. It has all to do with your reliance on God, the invitation of the gospel. And that God has created us to be in community together with other believers who will listen and who will encourage us. And that's our invitation today to any of you, whether you're in person or you're online, to connect with us. We want to sit with you. We want to pray with you, cry with you, listen to you, pray with you, share the word of God. Because staying has all to do with staying in God, our Father who is true, who is faithful, who is sovereign, who is loving, who is holy, who is righteous. Can we pray? Yeah. Lord, I thank you that your faithfulness, your grace and love towards us. One, it knows no bounds, but two, it's also proven. Lord, you said you would send the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ from the line of David, and you did exactly that. Lord, you bought a way for people to find their way back to you through their belief in the risen Savior and Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you paint a picture of a better, preferable, a vision for today and a vision for tomorrow. That is, that we stay in you, Lord. Lord, that everything that comes out of our heart, therefore we need to stay soft-hearted and we can't do that apart from you. And Lord, you've called us to be of one heart and one mind, staying together in you. And so Lord, I know there's a whole bunch of stuff that we need to surmount in our own lives. And Lord, it's scary, it's daunting, we don't know what to do. And so, Lord, the invitation would just be, oh, Lord, make us willing. Break down what you need to, refresh what you need to. Give people the courage to take a step and say, oh, my heart's been turning to stone and I want to turn back to the Lord and I want to step back into community. Lord, do what only you can do by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us today. And right now, we're going to do exactly what David did. We are going to praise you, Lord, because we declare that you are good and you have been so good to us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Hey, church family. Thanks so much for joining us for Church Online this week.